We have been working through the series surviving the summer, and hopefully there have been many areas that we've talked about that have been really helpful and important to you. We ordered t-shirts and have been able to share that. They've actually become kind of like a bit of a witnessing tool. I know that I did see Brooke Wise posted, I know how to survive. It says it on the back, and she posted that with just kind of the picture of the back as she was kind of facing her new treatment. And so it's a great area. But I have a few more that I'm going to give away today. So you guys who have those, if you would just kind of give those a toss in the right direction or whatever, go ahead, do that. Yep, there goes one back there. There you go. Okay. So if it doesn't fit, you can exchange it in the bookstore for one that does. And so we just like to say that it's such a great opportunity for us to be able to share how God can help work in each of our lives to help us survive no matter what we face and no matter what we're going through. God has some great plans. This is the last one that I'll talk about for that. And this is knowing don't just survive, but thrive, and what that means. We're going to be starting a new series that's going to be coming for our fall. We do 40 days of prayer and fasting in the fall and in the spring. So if you're new to join us, you may not be aware of that, but we try to make sure we do 40 days before our Friend Day that we have every year, and God has blessed that and used that as an opportunity for us to reach out. And then 40 days before Easter. Well, this fall, we always try to emphasize like a little bit more about getting into the Word of God, knowing God's Word better and how it can be used in your life. And so what we're going to be doing this year is we're doing life journals. We did this about 10 years ago. Some of you would remember that. And these life journals, I'm going to teach you how to journal through Scripture and how God can be able to use that in your life. And then you do that for 40 days. We'll have journals that we'll be offering during that time. And so we'll work through that. We actually have them for kids as well as youth. And so the whole family can do this and talk about it, which is pretty cool. It's a great way to be able to learn that God wants to talk to you every day. And then the fall series is going to be called The Facts of Life. And it's not those. Don't worry, it's not the birds and the bees. I'm not going to be talking about those. But we'll be talking about the facts of our faith, like what's important for us to remember. And so we'll be starting that, and that'll be a great opportunity for us to maybe answer questions like, is God real? Is the Bible true? Why does a good God allow suffering? And there's a book called God Questions. We used that about 7 years ago that's been reprinted and updated. And so we're going to actually be working with that also as a supplement. So a number of things happening. So we're pretty excited as we'll look forward to the fall. Don't just survive, but thrive. And the scripture says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I'd like you to share that. If you could just put an emphasis on overwhelming victory, okay, when we get to that point, let's read it together. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, teach us this morning. We want to hear your voice, not mine, and we'll be faithful to follow it. In Christ's name, amen. There are a number of questions that I'm going to ask today because I think there's a great importance when we try to say, what are the questions? If you want to help somebody guide them through their thought process, rather than just tell someone, it's so much better if you would ask the questions and let them process through that. So my first question, how will you view the challenges that are before you? We all know we're going to have challenges. We all know that we're going to have trouble that's going to be a part of this world. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. And so it's not like just trying to be a negative Nancy. It's just the reality that we're going to have trouble. Things are going to come. I'm sorry, Nancy. That's like no personal kind of thing. It's just the way it goes. And so the fact is that we're going to have that kind of things that are happening in our lives that are challenges. But have you noticed how people deal with them varies? And it varies, like you just like think, okay, and it's how we view those challenges that makes that difference. I mean, there's some people, like Brooke Wise, leukemia 4 times, going through this thing. And, you know, and she's really mustering and saying, you know, we can do this. And then other people have a hangnail, and they're like, I can hardly walk. This is just killing me. And I think, come on, like how we view the challenges that come to us are really going to make the big difference for every one of us. So first, your vantage point makes all the difference. Your vantage point, how you're looking at things, that's going to make all the difference. And so what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And it really matters on for each one of us. Let me share this with you. Both the hummingbird, which I think hummingbirds are so cool. We have one that comes to our back porch and we kind of sticks his nose in our hibiscus plants about every morning. It's just really cool. But the hummingbird and the vulture fly over the desert. All vultures see is rotting meat because that's what they're looking for. They thrive on that diet. But hummingbirds ignore the smelly flesh of dead animals. Instead, they look for the colorful blossoms of desert flowers or plants. The vultures live on what was. They live on the past. They fill themselves with what is dead and gone. But hummingbirds live on what is. They seek new life, and they fill themselves with freshness and life. The point is, each bird finds what it's looking for, and so do we all. So what are you looking for, and how are you going to look at what comes in your life? Your attitude is going to make a huge difference in how you respond. And what you're looking for is going to be what you're going to find. And so when you're looking for that negativity, you're looking for those, and you're not willing to be able to look beyond, you're going to find it. You're going to find it. But when you're also looking in a more positive manner and you're looking for something in a more positive way, you're going to find that too. So it's a determination on your part on what's going to happen. Because your vantage point gives you perspective, your determination will create your outcome. Your determination will create your outcome. There's just no way around it that how you're going to look at things and then what you're determined to see, you're going to see it. And so how will you face those challenges? How will you face those challenges that come to you? Share again. The coach agreed to help the kid. This little guy was neither strong nor skillful, but he had one enduring quality. He refused to give up. He won every single wrestling match because he tenaciously held on to his opponents and wore them down. By the end of the season, he was undefeated. And he made it to the state finals for his weight classification. The kid's opponent was a 2-time state champ and a bona fide college prospect. As the scrawny kid faced the state champion made a couple of quick moves and soon had the West Texas kid pinned. The coach knew his athlete was about to lose and he couldn't bear to watch it, so he turned his head away. Suddenly, the coach heard the roar of the crowd, and when he turned around, the kid was on top of the state champ, pinning him, and he won the match. The little guy bounced across the mat and hugged the coach and said, "Coach, I won, I won." The coach said, "Sure, son, but I missed it. I turned away just before you were about to lose. What happened?" The kid said, "Coach, that guy was good. He had me twisted like a pretzel on that mat. But you know me, coach, I never quit. I refuse to give up. So I opened my eyes, and there in front of my face was a big toe. I don't even know if it's against the rules or not, but I bit into that big toe with all my strength. And coach, it's amazing what you can do when you bite your own toe." Determination, what it can do in your life and how it can change the outcome that's a part. Because your determination is fueled by his power, you are equipped for whatever you face. See, it's fueled by his power and you're equipped for whatever you face. How will you draw on his power to face those challenges? How will you draw on those challenges, on his power to face those challenges? Third one, in his book, One Crowded Hour, Tim Burton wrote about something that happened in Borneo in 1964. The Nepalese soldiers called Gurkhas were known for their valor. The British command asked a squad of Gurkhas if they'd be willing to jump out of an airplane into combat against the enemy. After discussing it for a moment, the Gurkha sergeant replied, "Yes, we will jump out, if the airplane will fly as slow as possible, only 100 feet above a swamp." The British commander said, "That's too low. Your parachutes wouldn't have time to open." The Gurkha sergeant said, "Oh, you didn't mention parachutes." Now that's courage. They were willing to jump out of an airplane without parachutes. You may think God can't use you because you're too old or you don't have any special training or abilities. One of the greatest servants of God in the 19th century was a shoe salesman from Chicago named D.L. Moody. He was never ordained and he never attended college or seminary, but one time D.L. Moody heard a preacher, Henry Varley, speak these words, "The world has yet to see what God can do in and with and through and for a man wholly committed to him." At that moment, D.L. Moody said, "By the grace of God, I will be that man." D.L. Moody shook two continents for Christ, including England. He was so uneducated that he literally murdered the King's English. On one occasion in London, D.L. Moody was preaching to a crowd of very educated and sophisticated Englishmen. This next sentence reveals how poorly he spoke. He said, "Don't never think that God don't love you, for he do." As bad as his grammar was, God used him to bring thousands of British and American citizens to Christ. He had the one ability God always honors, availability. How are you going to work through the things that come into your life? How are you going to respond to them? And how are you going to be able to handle? Here's what we know by Scripture, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. A familiar passage. Does this say that everything that comes into your life is good? No, it's not. No, it's not. It doesn't feel good. But what he says is that he can cause everything for good. And that's how God wants to work in each of our lives. So when challenges come to your life and to my life, how should I respond? Ask these questions that we're going to talk about from Scripture. Now, I use this passage in Romans 8. It's one of my favorite passages or chapters in the New Testament. And as I look at Romans 8, it's got so much great truth in it. And basically, I'm kind of doing an expository message on that passage. Now, for you that do inductive Bible study, you would understand this really well because that's exactly what you're taught to do in that. In fact, we have this year, there are about 70 people doing inductive Bible study. It's never been announced. It's just word of mouth that it keeps happening. And Leanne, who's our far to the left keyboardist, she kind of got it started with the pilot group, and they loved it so much because they learned more about the Word of God, and it kept going and going. And so that's about 70 that are participating this fall. So basically, that's how I'm operating when I'm looking at Romans 8 and this particular passage that we're looking at, helping you to be able to pull out truth out of it that would help instruct you. Because the Scripture says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? Now, when it's saying that, you want to put it in context, and you want to look before, well, what are those wonderful things? And you want to see that, and then that's going to help you understand the whole context of what is there. So what shall we say? And that's a question that comes for each one of us. When challenges come to my life, how should I respond? Let's ask these questions. Well, what should I say? So if I'm coming to a challenge, how are you prepared to respond to it? What are you going to say? Who can be against me? When you come to this challenge and you're going to look and you're going to say, you know, okay, here's this challenge. Who can be against me? Won't Jesus give me everything I need? won't Jesus give me everything I need? Because, you know, he tells me that in his word. So when I come to these challenges, I'm going to look at that. In fact, who can accuse me? Who can accuse me? I'm going to look for that to understand when I'm going through a challenge and when I'm going through this. You know, it's important that you would understand I am suffering many times not because of even some of my poor choices. It could be poor choices of other people inflicted on me. And you say, well, that doesn't seem fair. And it isn't. I totally agree with you. But you see, God will not always take away the consequences of other people's choices against me. I may be suffering because of what they've done. And if he took it away, then he would take away freedom of choice because we'd be robotic. You see, we all have a choice, and how what I do may be affecting me, but it may hurt someone else. And he can't just take away the consequences without taking away the choices. And so it's important that we would understand. But that's why we keep looking at Scripture. Who can condemn me? Who can condemn me? If I understand Scripture and I understand what God has promised, then who can condemn me? In fact, can anything separate me from God's love? No matter what I face, no matter what I'm going through. In fact, does God still have me no matter what I face? Does God still have me no matter what I face? Well, what do I need to remember? What do I need to remember? We're all going to face challenges. We understand that. We're all going to go through those things. And so when they come, what do I need to remember? Here's what Scripture says. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Let's look at that. First of all, what do we know? We know I am not alone. Would you say that for me? I am not alone. You need to repeat that over and over, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the challenge is before you, no matter where you are, you've got to remember, I am not alone. Because Scripture said he gave them the right standing with himself. So whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm walking through, I'm not alone. I am not alone. And you've got to continue to keep that in front of you. One of the great things that we do when we come together as the body of Christ, we encourage one another. We help us remember the truths of God's word. We bring those to us so we can hold on to them. And we need to make sure that we're taking them in and holding fast to those, because that's the strength that we're going to have. I have to tell you this. Last week I talked about resolving conflict and surviving conflict. And how do we do this? And so for you that are here, you'll remember this. One of the young families in our church, they had a four-year-old daughter, and she wanted to come to Big People's Church with them. And so they thought, oh, I don't know if this is such a good idea, but okay, we'll see how it works this one time. Maybe we can make it a reward from time to time. So she came, and she was coloring the whole time as they were talking, and they were thinking, I'm not sure this really went in or what happened, but anyway, she was okay. And so they left, and grandmother was watching them, her and her little cousin, that week, a couple days later. And grandmother said to them, she said, okay, kids, I'm going to leave the room for a few minutes. But while I'm gone, I don't want there to be any fighting or any problems. And the little four-year-old girl spoke up and she said, I know if there's any fighting or any problems, we'll do just what Pastor Arlie said. We will go low and slow. I thought, yes. Now, what a joy to think that it could be heard, retained, and applied. So, folks, here's what I'm asking you. What a joy if it's heard, retained, and applied. Because that's the difference that happens for us. So we know we are not alone. Would you also read this for me and tell me, I am called. I am called. I am not alone. I am called. Whenever I face challenges, whatever comes to me, I need to remember I'm not alone, I'm called. God has got his hand on this. He's going to work through this. He has drawn me to this moment. He said he called them. You have been called as a child of God. You have been called into a relationship. Do you know you couldn't have a relationship with Jesus on your own? You had to first be called by him and brought into that relationship. So we know that you are called. We also know, would you repeat this with me? I am chosen. I am not alone. I am called. I am chosen. God chose you. He chose you for this relationship. I mean, if there's anything that should certainly make you feel special, certainly make you feel significant, because God chose you. He chose you for this moment. He chose you for this time. He chose you even for what you are going through, because he's got some purpose that he's going to be working through it. So I am not alone. I am called. I am chosen. The scripture says he chose them. The fact is, would you read this for me also? I am equipped. I am not alone. I am called. I am chosen, and I am equipped. I am equipped for whatever would come to my life. I want you to understand, God is constantly preparing you for something that's ahead. He's constantly preparing you for something that's ahead. He already knows what is ahead. How could he be a loving God and not adequately prepare you for whatever you were going to face? Of course he prepares you, and he desires that you would be prepared for that. But it's your choice whether or not you take the preparation. It's your choice whether or not you're willing to put yourself in a place where you can learn, where you can grow, where the word of God can speak to you and prepare you. It's your choice. And that's why God can't be blamed. How many times I've talked to people and they've said, when they've gone through a devastating situation, and when they've talked to me ahead of time, they've said, you know, now that this happened, I can see all these things that God worked in my life to prepare me for this time. I know that. And if you're obedient and willing to be used by God, he's going to prepare you, and you will be fully equipped for whatever you face. He says he gave them his glory. He gave them the ability to be able to walk through that. So when trials come, what shall I say? What shall I say? There's a great importance to realize that this is not an accident. God has a plan. This is not an accident. God has a plan. You know, it's so important that you would understand. Could you just say, God has a plan? He does. It's not an accident that comes to your life. God has a plan. He's going to work through this. Now, as I said, does God bring everything? No. Sometimes we're suffering because of the consequences of other people's choices. But no matter what happens that does come, he's got a plan. He's already prepared you for it. And that's why he says, we know that God causes everything to work together. He causes everything that happens, even when it's offenses by other people, even when it's hard times, even when it's difficult, he's causing all of that to work together. And so I need to make sure I can just know God has a plan. God has a plan. And I need to know this will be used for my good. Would you repeat that? Yes. I've got to understand. I've got to retain. I've got to hold on to it. No matter what I'm going through, God's going to use it for my good. And so even when it's bad, because it doesn't say it is good, but he says he'll use it for my good. And that's why he says to work together for good. And so even when there are hard places and hard times and difficult things that we all face and trouble that comes to all of us, he says he's going to use it for our good. And so I have to trust him, and I have to come back to remember I'm not alone, and I'm called, and I'm chosen, and I'm fully equipped, knowing that God has got this and he's going to help and work through that. This did not catch God off guard. God prepared me for this. Would you say God prepared me for this? God prepared me for this. So whatever it is, see, like, we have to know. God knew, and that's why the scripture says he knew his people in advance. He knew ahead of time. God knew it was coming. And so what has he done? He's prepared us for this. And we can be able to hold on to that, remembering no matter what is a part of that, he's going to work through that. Does it take the pain away? No, but it sure does make a whole lot of difference when my focus is on God rather than on me. Because if I'm going to keep focusing on me, it's just going to accentuate the pain. But I want to change my focus and my vantage point. I'm going to look on something else. God can be able to work through that. You see, this will bring glory to God. And would you tell me? God is with me. Once more. Yes, because it's going to bring glory to God, whatever it is. Now, does it always bring glory to God? If you're willing for God to bring glory to God. It doesn't when you just moan or complain or refuse to be able to allow God to be able to be free to do his work. But when we're at that point in place to say, Lord, I trust you. I don't understand, but I trust you. I'm committing this into your hands because it's bigger than me. It's bigger than I can deal with. And so he gave them his glory. He gives that to us. Even when we can't know how we can understand it, even though we can't. And there are many times I would love to take away the pain that people face and walk through. I would love when I hear what they're going through and I hear circumstances, I would just love to intervene and just say, you know, isn't there some way? But you know, God is going to use that in our lives and help us to become all that we need to be. And we'll do more damage by trying to take it away than seeing God work through it. You know, I have to say, when trials come, what should I say? This will help me look more like Jesus. God will use this. Would you say God will use this? Yes, it's going to help me look more like Jesus. Here's the plan. Here's the plan that God has. He wants all of us to look like Jesus. He's going to work in us. You know, here's the thing I don't understand. Sharon and I were just talking this week, and I was thinking, you know, and I'm sure you know people like this. How many of you know somebody who's not a Christian who's nicer than Christians that you know? Yeah, right. And I think, wait a minute, that's not how it's supposed to be. Like, what's wrong here? What's wrong? And why aren't they looking more like Jesus? Here they've been following God for all these years, and all they are is complaining and whining and frustrated with everything. I think, why don't you look more like Jesus? Because you're not allowing the things and the hardships and the difficult things that come to you to help us to become more like him. You see, that's what his plan is. He said he chose them to become like his son. That's what he wants to do. He wants all of us to look more like Jesus. There are people in our world, in our lives, who need to see Jesus. And we're the only people who can show them. And so we are the ones who need to make sure we are showing them Jesus by how we are living and what is a part. Amen. Yes. So when challenges come to my life, how should I respond? Ask these questions. How should I respond? The scripture says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? Wonderful things. Now, he says, these are wonderful things. You look at this total context of this passage, and you go, yes, God is wonderful, but are these, like, but what should we say? First, I'll give the question, and you give the answer. What should I say? Yes, whatever you're facing, you need to say, God, you are with me. Take a breath, change your focus, and make sure that you're there. No matter what is coming into your life, what should I say? God, you're with me. When I ask that question, who can be against me? See, if God's for me, if God is with me, who can be against me? No one, because no one is greater than God. So whatever I'm facing, I've got to remember, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, it doesn't matter what anybody else brings against us, it doesn't matter what's taking place. What I have to remember is, who can be against me? No one, because God is greater. Won't Jesus give me everything I need? He's given us all we need. So what do I have to remember? I have to draw on his resources, not mine. I don't have enough to go through trials. I don't have enough in me to be able to make this happen. But God's given me everything I need. So I have to keep remembering, Lord, I'm drawing on your resources, not mine. I'm out. I'm empty. But I know you have enough because you said you've given everything I need. Who can accuse me? Yes, no one can come against you. God is your defender. Whatever you're going through, whatever is coming in your life, you've just got to remember, no one, because God is my defender. That's who I trust, and that's who I can rely on no matter what I face. Who can condemn me? Amen. God stands for me. And so no one can condemn me. No one can come against, no matter what I'm facing or going through or the difficulty or problem. I have to remember, no one. God's for me. And so whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm going through, no one can condemn me when God is for me. Can anything separate me from God's love? His love is greater than whatever I would face. He said, nothing can separate me from the love of God. No matter what's coming into your life, no matter what the problems or the struggle, you make the choice because God already spoke for you. He's already for you. He's standing with you. You are not alone. He says that nothing can separate you from His love. Does God still have me no matter what I face? It is. He says you can be more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, not just overcoming this. He said overwhelming victory. Overwhelming victory is mine through Christ. That's the promises that God gives to us, and that's what we have. I want to share with you this passage. This is from the Message, and the Message is just a paraphrase. And it tells us, Eugene Peterson wrote it, he's a scholar, but it's not a direct translation, but it's a paraphrase telling us what this passage is about. And this speaks so strongly, every time I read it, I just really am ministered to it by it. So let me share that with you. God knew what He was doing from the very beginning. Aren't you grateful? He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love Him along the same lines as the life of His Son. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in Him. After God made that decision of what His children should be like, He followed it up by calling people by name. After He called them by name, He set them on a solid basis with Himself. And then, after getting them established, He stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what He had begun. So, what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition, exposing Himself to the worst by sending His own Son, is there anything else He wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the very presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst of sins listed in Scripture. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Amen. Can I survive an imperfect family? Amen. Can I survive suffering? Can I survive disappointment? Can I survive loneliness? Can I survive doubts? Can I survive an unhealthy relationship? Can I survive hurts from others? Can I survive past failures? Can I survive conflict? Yes, we were made to thrive. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity. I want to pray for you. If God has been speaking to you that you need to thrive, and you want to say, I need His help to do this because I can't do this, would you stand right where you are? Because I want to have a closing prayer for you. If God's been speaking to your heart as we've walked through this message today, and you would say, yes, I want to thrive, and I need God's help to do it because I cannot do this on my own. But I believe that's what He has for me. And so you just want to stand right where you are, and I want to have a closing prayer for you. Thank you, Father, for your promises that are ours, thousands of promises in your word, for your truth, for all that you mean to us. Lord, we were made to thrive, and so many times we live less than what you have given to us. Lord, we come this morning and we humbly bow before you and say, Lord, I'm here to receive what I need to be empowered to thrive because I can't do this on my own. But I know you've promised that you would fully equip me. You've promised I'm not alone. You've promised you would always be with me. You're going to be all that is needed. So Lord, each one that is standing, you know the need of their life. You know what they face. You know what they're walking through. You know the circumstances. And thank you, Jesus, that you can equip them to thrive. Lord, we're just grateful for what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen.